Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine in February has focused the world's attention onto the armed conflict that began in 2014. What's the situation now? How are the people of God responding to needs? And how can you and I pray for everyone involved? We'll be talking about that today here on Family Life's Inside Out. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and my guest is Don Parsons. He served in Kyiv, Ukraine as a church planter and now directs Mission Eurasia's Unreached People Groups initiative. We're recording this conversation just hours before Don returns to Poland after a week in the United States. Welcome, Don, to Inside Out.
Thank you, Martha. It's really great for me to be here today.
I am very curious, very interested in what you can share with those of us who, you know, we read the newspapers and we see the images, but I'm really looking for your perspective here. So could you just kind of give us a picture? Tell us about the refugee centers. What's the situation? And how has the picture changed or has it changed since the Ukrainians began fleeing their country and fleeing within the country in February of this year?
Yeah, the picture has changed, but not immensely better. Mm. You don't see the border crossings that were taking place at that time. You know, we had about 4 or 5 million Ukrainians cross the border, leave the country. Some of those Ukrainians have returned, but the flow does continue, but it's just at a slower rate. And the refugees, unlike a refugee situation that might be in the Middle East or Africa, where you have refugee camps, refugees are scattered all throughout Europe, especially centered in Poland, right on the neighboring country with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. In Poland, in the city of Warsaw, where I'm based right now, the population has increased by 15% in the last 3 months. 15%, 400,000 plus Ukrainian refugees.
Wow.
Some of them live in people's homes. Some of them live in refugee centers. Now, those centers are like, picture a U.S. expo center. And you've got bed after bed after bed after bed. 3,000 people sleeping in one big, big room. Mm. They have showers. They have 3 meals a day. They have all the things that they need, but they're still living in a context like that.
Right.
So those places still exist. Refugees are still all over the city. And everywhere you go, you can see Ukrainian refugees moving around the city.
Mm-hmm. So, Don, I mean, it's the automatic next question when you're thinking of thousands and thousands of people in a huge center. You know, there are physical needs, and it sounds like they're being met. But how is the Church Universal, meeting those physical needs? And also, are Christians being able to minister to those who are internally displaced within Ukraine? I know that Mission Eurasia is committed to providing relief aid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mission Eurasia is very committed. From the very beginning of the war, our staff that's was based in Irpin, and that's a city that you recognize. You heard about it on the news. It
yes.
was one of the first occupied cities just on the outskirts of Kyiv. During the occupation, and then when the Ukrainian army was able to liberate the city again, mm-hmm. The center where our ministry takes place, the heartbeat, was destroyed by Russian troops.
Ah.
But praise the Lord that there was no one that was hurt at that time. There was no one in the building at the time because our team had all evacuated. As a matter of fact, during the early days of the war, our entire Mission Eurasia Ukrainian team evacuated out of the country.
Ah.
Well, I should be more clear. They evacuated their families, wives and children left, went over the border into Poland, into Germany, but the husbands stayed behind. Well, today, what are those husbands and dads doing? They are mobilizing large numbers of churches. And together with the Ukrainian church in Ukraine, we're talking about thousands of churches, thousands of volunteers, mobilizing large amounts of aid that's being taken all over the country. In the last 3 months, Mission Eurasia has helped to distribute through the church and with the church 700 tons of food aid, as well as scriptures. Over 200,000 pieces of scripture have been distributed together with this aid. Scripture, literature, brochures, those kinds of things. These 40,000 boxes, it's a box that will sustain a family of four for a week,
mm-hmm.
have been delivered into people's hands. And these people have been prayed with, and we've heard their stories, we've heard their sufferings, we've heard their difficulties. These boxes have been taken into some of the hardest places. So how is the church responding?
Mm-hmm.
This is Mission Eurasia, yes. But again, we wouldn't be able to even touch this if there wasn't thousands of volunteers and churches that were working as part of the network of distribution throughout the country of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And that's just in Ukraine. You were asking about Poland. The church in Poland has been wonderful in responding to the needs. I'm part of a Ukrainian Baptist church in the city of Warsaw.
Okay.
That church itself increased from about 200 members to about 500-600 people coming every Sunday. They're packed out. You have sometimes 50 or 100 people standing outside the church, almost unable to listen to the service, but just trying to catch a glimpse of what's going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Ukrainians in the city of Warsaw that are going around, going to these refugee centers, the ones that I described earlier, going to people's homes, handing out aid, handing out scripture, trying to serve and meet the needs of those that are there, bending over backwards. There's a Polish church that we're partnering with, and they have seen, 24,000 people have come through their church where they're providing, and we're coming alongside of them as well and working alongside with them.
Uh-huh.
24,000 people, food, shelter, the children's ministries for kids. Just the list can go on and on and on how the church has responded. And we're just grateful to be able to be a part of that.
Is that aid coming from outside of Europe? Or is that money coming in and then you can buy on the market? Is it possible to fill those boxes for a family for a week? Is it possible to supply physical and nutritional needs on the market? Or is that almost impossible to do and you need the actual physical goods to come from other places?
We're actually doing both. Those boxes cost about $50 each to fill,
mm-hmm.
and that includes the scriptures that are going in them and being delivered to different places. We are able to find in Poland and in Ukraine, even, it gets shipped over the border from Poland into Ukraine. We're able to buy the basic necessities,
okay,
noodles, oils, grains, different kinds of meat, canned meat typically,
sure,
vegetables and so forth. So that's one side. On the other side, we are also shipping in multiple containers. I honestly don't remember the number right now, but I believe we're at least at 15 containers that are on the way and arriving even this week into Poland that will be shipped in trucks then from Poland into Ukraine.
And by containers, you mean shipping containers, the ones that go on ships and then go on the back of trucks? Those containers, those massive?
Those 40-foot massive containers with rice, with beans, with different kinds of food aid and medical aid as well.
Okay. Well, let me just reset for those people who are just joining us right now. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life. And today I'm talking with Mission Eurasia's Don Parsons. Don, we've talked a little bit or a lot about the physical needs of people, and you've mentioned their spiritual needs. And I'm wondering, what's your understanding, you know, having been there and going back there, of course, what's your understanding of how Ukrainian refugees and refugee workers, those people who are helping, what is your understanding about their reception to the good news of Jesus Christ that maybe they had not heard of before and in these dire circumstances maybe are hearing because of the good works that are flowing out of people's faith as they minister to them?
That's a great question. You know, we've gone as foreign missionaries, yes, but also Ukrainian missionaries walking into those refugee centers that I described earlier.
Right.
And we just pray, Lord, show us the right person to talk to. Because when there's 3,000 people, you don't know who to talk to,
mm-hmm.
and who the Lord wants you to encourage that day. But I will say to you, every time we pray that and then just go up to someone, start talking to them, listen to their story. And we ask them, can we pray for you? Can we share some of our own story with you? Virtually every time that we do that, people are open.
Mm-hmm.
They want to pray. They want to be encouraged. They want to listen to God's truth. They want to receive the word of God. Not that every single person does,
sure,
but a large number of people.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw a young man was actually, he needed to leave the center, left the center with our team. And over the course of a couple of days, spending time with a Ukrainian pastor that we're partnering with, He gave his life to Christ. And I'll tell you, when he left that center, his countenance was low. He had a darkness on his face. He had a sadness, a heaviness, a burden. He had been through war.
Sure.
He had seen some of those atrocities himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time he had spent those couple days outside, he gave his life to Christ. His countenance was completely changed. And he actually was sent to a believing family in Stuttgart, Germany, that was going to be hosting him. And now he's there growing in his faith. Another example, just about 10 days ago, we had a children's camp just outside the city of Warsaw.
Okay.
And we had about 60 children, so ages 7 to 12 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday night, I was asked to share the gospel presentation. And I shared with these children, and I talked to them bluntly about many of these kids who've left their fathers, left their older brothers or uncles or sometimes grandfathers still in Ukraine because they weren't allowed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are with their moms. They don't know when they're going to go home. They're in a place that's strange to them. And I said, you can give those burdens up to Jesus. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then I gave an invitation that these children would just pray quietly to receive Christ as their personal Savior. And as we prayed there, I could hear this hushed hum all over the room of children that were repeating that prayer and receiving Jesus as their personal Savior.
Hmm.
Who knows what could have happened had this war not taken place.
Mm-hmm.
God is opening up doors. What man intended for evil, God intended and has brought for good. So we can praise the Lord for that.
Mm. Well, on this same vein, Don, how can people an ocean away like us be praying for the people of Ukraine, the people of Russia, and the people of the other countries that are taking in the refugees from Ukraine? And I mean, this looks like it will be a long time of disruption. So how can we be praying?
Well, I know that the war has kind of gone down the list of headlines in North America.
Mm-hmm.
But the war is just as intense as it was. There is heavy fighting. There are people who are losing their lives at great numbers on a daily basis. So I think the first prayer would just be to pray that this war, these atrocities, this evil would end, and to not cease to pray.
Mm-hmm.
One of the pastors in Kyiv in the early going said that the prayers of the global church is the Iron Dome of Ukraine. And so we need to keep standing with Ukraine and praying for Ukraine. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I don't know if you realize this, but the Ukrainian church, if you take the evangelical Ukrainian church, is the largest evangelical church in all of Europe.
Is it?
And now that's the country, yes. Now that's the country that's been invaded. So I want to pray that we would see a great spiritual harvest. You know, when you think about the expansion of the church in the book of Acts, how did it happen? It often happened through persecution, through trial, through difficulty.
Right.
Stephen was stoned in chapter 7 of Acts. In chapter 8, verse 4,
mm-hmm.
the church is scattered. And as it is scattered, it preaches the word wherever it goes.
Right.
So pray for a spiritual harvest in the midst of these horrors. The church that we helped plant in Kyiv, the pastor was evacuated to Switzerland. He's helped establish a little church with the Ukrainian community there. And 22 people have come to Christ in the last 2.5 months since he's been evacuated there.
And here I am asking how, in a sense, outsiders are ministering to the Ukrainian people. But we're talking about the Ukrainian faithful, right? Going out
yes.
and ministering to others, of course. Oh,
that's
exactly how God
right.
works. Yes.
So pray for a spiritual harvest.
Okay.
For the Ukrainians, but also for those countries where they're now located.
Mm-hmm.
Poland has less than 0.5% evangelical, very few believers.
Mm-hmm.
The Ukrainian evangelical church now located in Poland is numerically larger than the existing Polish evangelical church. So knows what kind of opportunities God will open up with that.
The Ukrainian Evangelical Church now in Poland, if I'm understanding you right, is larger than the Polish Evangelical Christians prior to, I mean, wow.
Yes.
Incredible. I mean, obviously, so many things that God does are beyond my ability to understand. So incredible to me, but not incredible to God. Absolutely. So to summarize so far, praying for an end to these hostilities and also praying for the state of the church and its ability to continue to prosper and to bring others to Christ, to the witness of the Spirit in this situation. But there's more.
I was just going to add one more, and that's to pray for those that have experienced or are experiencing trauma. That's an area that we are working very hard to try to address, providing training for those that have personally experienced trauma, which almost every Ukrainian has at some level, because so many are displaced. And even if you're still in your home, you're living now in a new fear. Those that have left families, those that have seen atrocities and so forth. So pray that this heaviness, the trauma, that we would be able to help make an impact into people's lives so that those burdens would be lifted. And of course, the greatest answer or the best answer to that question, the eternal answer, is through Jesus Christ. So pray that the Lord would bless the efforts to try to help those that have experienced trauma.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for your perspective as someone who's been there and has been working in Ukraine and is going right back within hours, right? I really appreciate you for joining me here on Inside Out. You've been listening to Family Life's Inside Out with my guest Don Parsons of Mission Eurasia. To learn more about the work of Mission Eurasia, log on to missioneurasia.org. That's mission, E-U-R-A-S-I-A, all one word, .org. I'm Martha Manikas Foster for Family Life.